women said, it was empty. But that's not all. Inside, Peter found the clothes that Jesus had been wrapped in, laying just like the body had passed through it. I think that'd be pretty spooky. Not only did they find that those grave clothes laying perfectly in line, just like he just disappeared, dissolved within it. They found the cloth that had been over his face, neatly folded and laid on the side. Jesus was gone. He was resurrected. It wouldn't be long before Jesus himself appeared to Mary Magdalene and to all the apostles and eventually over 500 people. He'd sit down with them, he'd walk with them, he'd talk with them, he'd eat with them. Once again, they'd be able to fellowship with their Lord. I guess that's the end of it. I knew I had some problems when I developed this thing, but I thought I had them resolved. Obviously, I didn't quite do as good a job as I thought I had. Once they were able to fellowship with their Lord, can you imagine how Peter felt? Peter, the one who had denied Jesus. Can you imagine how it felt for Peter when Jesus said to the women, "Go and tell my disciples and Peter that I'm going to meet him there"? You see, the marvelous thing of the empty grave clothes is that Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. It's not about him being dead and gone and somehow we'll someday get to see him. No, he wants to have a relationship now. Easter is wonderful because it talks about our forgiven sin. It talks about the fact that one day we're going to be resurrected. But the best part of it all, he says, you can talk to Jesus today. He's not some nebulous force in the universe influencing people. He desires to have a personal relationship with you. The cross couldn't hold him, the tomb couldn't contain him, the burial clothes were unnecessary because he's alive. He has skin and bone and a face that was recognizable. He talked and he touched and he loved and he healed and he did it. The day of his resurrection, he does it still today. I want to ask you a very important question this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ? I mean, do you know Jesus Christ? John had a chance to go down and see the vice president last week. John knows who the vice president, but John doesn't know the vice president. He's not one that sits down and has a chat with him. You don't know, we all know about who Governor Dayton is, but there isn't one person in here who says, "Yeah, Governor Dayton and I sit down and have coffee every morning." So what I'm talking about is knowing Jesus. I'm saying, not like we know vice president or the president or some other fancy movie star. I'm saying, do you know him like you know the dearest friend in your life? Because you see, that's really what Easter is about. Easter is about paying for your sin, making the opportunity for you to have a relationship with Christ. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." It's been 2,000 years since Christ was crucified and resurrected. On that first Easter, as the women went to the grave, they had no idea about what was to happen to them. They weren't aware of the wonderful promises of that empty cross that stood off in the distance, the promise that their sins were forgiven. At the end of their journey was an empty tomb, the promise of eternal life. And inside the tomb were those empty burial clothes, the promise they would once again have a personal relationship with Christ. John Maxwell tells a story about a blazer that he bought. It went this way. He said, about a year and a half ago, I bought a new navy blazer at Nordstrom's. It was one of those cases you may have gone through where you buy an item of clothing and the more you wear it, the more you realize you don't like it. My blazer wasn't the right color, and to make matters worse, it attracted lint like it was going out of style. After wearing it pretty regularly for 6 months or so, I stuck it in my closet, and I didn't wear it for a long time. But tucked away in the back of my mind all the while was that famous Nordstrom unconditional return policy. I thought I've had this thing for a year and a half. I've worn it lots of times, and there's no way they're going to take it back. But he said about 2 weeks ago, I decided I had nothing to lose. I pulled the blazer out, threw a lot of lint on it to make it look really bad, and then I took it down to Nordstrom's men's department. I walked in, and he said I immediately felt nervous. I felt like I was about to pull a scam of some sort. But he said, I played it straight. I walked right up to the first salesman I saw and gave him this little prepared speech. I said, I'm about to put your famous unconditional return policy to its ultimate test. I have here a blazer. I've worn it lots. I've had it for a year and a half. I don't like it. It's the wrong color. It attracts lint like it's going out of style. But I want to return this blazer for another blazer that I like. And then I stood there. He said, I couldn't believe it. The guy with the big handlebar mustache just looked at me and shook his head and said, for heaven's sake, what took you so long? Let's go find you a blazer. And 10 minutes later, I walked out with a blazer that was marked $75 more than I paid for the one that I bought. It was the perfect, it didn't cost me a penny. And he went on and said this, in a small way, the Nordstrom department store is a lot like God. They're willing to back up their promises. I think at Easter, more than any other time in the year, we realize that God has made some outlandish promises. So outlandish that many times we can't really bring ourselves to believe them. Or can we? Three promises. The promise of an empty cross. The promise of an empty tomb. And the promise of the empty grave clothes. He died to pay for your sin. He rose again to show you that you too can have eternal life. And he left those grave clothes there so they'd see them and come to him and say, what? I want to have a relationship with you. Easter's not about Easter bunnies and eggs. Easter is about the most significant event that happened in history. It's the most essential thing that's happened in eternity. Because that is our entree into an eternity with him. In my funeral messages, I always make this point. Life is a gift that God gives us. It's given at the moment of conception. And as my friend said, when we're born, we put on a suit. And that suit looks like us, and it looks like a baby. It's so innocent and perfect, and they grow up, and then we get old and decrepit, and we wear out. And in that time frame, from that birth until we die, we have the opportunity to choose where we'll spend eternity. Because there's only two choices, with him or without him. The promise of Easter is, you choose to walk with him. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Choose you this day him. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we come to the conclusion of a simple message about Easter. An empty cross, an empty tomb, and empty grave clothes. And each one of those are great promises about our forgiveness, about our eternity, and about you wanting us to have a relationship with you. Would you weld those ideas into our hearts, I pray today. May we become truly your friends. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah! What a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing.